Morning, church.
Good morning.
Little tiny church. So, Dave just gave me a Ricola this morning, so if I break out in a yodel during this sermon, that's not my fault, right? It's this Ricola thing. It's just one of those things that you go, I have a Ricola, I have to yodel. Well, that's just how it is. So just so you're aware of that. So, right, it happens to all of us, right? We all have those days. How many times have you said, it's one of those days? You know, I pretty much say that on a weekly basis. Often we find, you know, we can find the cause or causes of it, and sometimes it could be a wide variety of things, right? All culminating together at once, like our minds are going 90 miles an hour, trying to figure out what was going on, trying to get all our ducks in a row, trying to line everything up ourselves. You know, daily living, working, anything in between can cause anxiety, it can cause stress, it can bring all this stuff on, and it can really mount up if we try to handle everything ourselves. But we notice, we've got to understand here, there's two factors at work. And before we get into those two, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Excuse me. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, the first part of that verse, God is opposed to the proud. This is going to describe the first factor that we're going to look at. This is the one. This factor is the one that's making our mind work overtime until like complete exhaustion sets in and we just throw our hands up and say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. You know, this we know is, we have to understand, is from the evil enemy. This little evil one, he's working on our pride. Working on our pride. Driving us, keeping us in this frenzy. Just kind of basically telling us, it's, you don't need any help. You can handle this all by yourself. Just keep going. Yet in the meantime, he's putting all these thoughts in our brains and making us work 1,000 miles an hour and think 1,000 miles an hour in all kind of different directions to the point where we eventually forget where we even started. Why am I doing this in the first place? And that's what he does. You know, pride takes many forms. It really does. Arrogance, power, knowledge. Self-centeredness. Self-centered is a big one. Being judgmental, it's another one. The list goes on and on. Pride within yourself, feeling like you can handle everything. Honestly, it's something that God hates. God hates pride. Hates it. Hates pride. Why does he hate it? Because it takes your focus and reliance off of him. And it puts it on yourself. It's centered on yourself. That's why the enemy loves it. And that's why the enemy loves to use it. He loves to use the pride. Listen to 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. The enemy wants to keep our focus on how confusing this world can be. And sometimes it works, right? God really may not immediately intervene, but he will patiently wait until you call on him, until you reach out to him, until you put yourself aside. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also so that you will be able to endure. God already knows what you're going through. He knows the situation. He knows what we're up against. And he's already laid out the escape route. It's all right there. We just need to swallow our pride and say, God, I need help. God, I can't do this myself. And ask him for it. Prayerfully ask him for it. And he will provide it. He is a true God. That takes us to the second part of 1 Peter 5:5. God gives grace to the humble. And that takes us to the second factor that we're going to be looking at. This is the one that tells us to step back, relax, calm down, give the situation to someone who can handle it a lot better than you can. And that is lifting it up to God. Sometimes it's difficult to do, but this is what we need to try to do. Try to do our best to do. It can be difficult. Why? Because it crushes our pride. It crushes our pride. And none of us, you know, we want to always be in control. We don't want our pride crushed. We don't want to feel like that. But, you know, it removes the focus. It removes our defenses. It removes our pride. It removes our self-centeredness and makes us focus on God. And God will take action when you call on Him and say, God, I need help. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this on my own. I need help. Then when you start to lay everything out to Him piece by piece, He can take care of everything. And don't worry about it. There's nothing in this universe that He can't handle. Not one thing that He can't handle. And it's awesome because God is always willing to listen. He's always willing to listen. His ears are constantly open. 1 Peter chapter 5. Go to the next couple verses here, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Focusing your attention off of yourself and onto Him. Listen to what Jesus said about that when we do that. John 15, 5. Excuse me. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Here we go. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Let that one sink in. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Once we decide to abide in Jesus Christ, we basically relinquish all control over to Him. We still have our free will. Trust me, we still have that God-given free will. But listen, church, our free will should be saying, Jesus, my free will is to follow your will. That should be the key of our God-given free will. So stepping back, letting Him take control of those crazy and friendly situations, almost immediately, when we do that, when we hand it over to Him, almost immediately, we're going to find ourselves wrapped up in Philippians 4:7, which says, okay, we've given it to Jesus, right? This says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right? So, after we pay attention to that, we will be filled with such joy and such confidence that we're going to be shouting out Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there it is right there. Once you give everything to Jesus Christ and you said, look, Jesus, your will. Your will. You can take care of everything. After that, piece by piece, things will fall into place. And you'll find yourself saying, you know, why did I ever get so upset in the first place? Why didn't I just take it to God? Because my pride got in the way. That's the problem. So, you know, I ask this question a lot, church, and a lot of messages. What's it mean when God repeats things? He's right. He's stressing a point, right? He's stressing a point. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Almost two back-to-back scriptures. Deuteronomy 31:6 and 31:8. They're right there, and they both say, be strong and courageous. Excuse me. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Simply put, God already knows the situation. He's already got the solutions. He's just waiting to hear our voice in the midst of everything. He's waiting for us to bury our pride and say, God, I can't do this myself. I need help. You know, many times after the dust has settled, I find myself doing that. You know, after God has taken care of everything and I've given it to him and I find myself at the end of the situation, I get frustrated with myself. I get frustrated and go, what took me so long to lay this before God? Why did I wait? Why did I force myself through this thing when I could have just given it to God? Pride. Pride right there. But then I forgive myself and I move on and I thank sin and say, God, you know, next time, let me put my pride aside. Let me come to you first. Let's do this thing together. And God will say, yeah, let's. Just remember to do it. Yes, sir. Right away. Let's look at a quick story. This harmonizes with the verse we've been looking at. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This story, is in Luke chapter 18. Pick up in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. When we look at verses 11 and 12, this is pride talking. This is a Pharisee, a religious leader, supposed to be teaching the people about God. And what's he saying? Man, God, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. I'm glad I'm not that guy. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Pharisee, God. I do this. I do that. Can you see that, God? I know you know who I am, God. I'm a Pharisee. I know you know that, God. And meanwhile, the tax collector, the other verse is right there. He's saying, I got to bury my pride. I have to bury my pride and I have to give it to God. And I will be saying, God, let my will be to do your will. The tax collector saying right here, he's emptying himself of his pride. Meanwhile, the Pharisee, he's putting himself up here. You know, God, I'm one step away from you. Can you see me? Come on. It's dangerous ground. But the tax collector, he's the one right here saying, God, I can't do this myself. I can't do anything myself. And he understands that apart from God, he can do nothing on his own. Like I said before, relinquishing control to God, it's not always an easy thing to do. Pride does get in the way. But once we learn to do it, it can become habitual. Or we do it all the time. Something arises, we'll give it right to God. God can take care of this better than I can. Got to bury that pride, you know. Let me make another point here about the enemy's schemes and the devices that he uses during these frenzied times. Make another one. Things from our past, situations we were once in, things that have absolutely nothing to do with the craziness that we're going through right now, things that he'll use any avenue, anything. He will dredge up your past, things that you've been forgiven of, things that you've not even realized. He'll bring them back up and he'll use them in that situation. Why will he do that? Because he wants to compound your mind. He wants to build your pride up. He wants to get you so overwhelmed that you just throw your hands up and say, you know what? I need to do this myself. I need to focus. I need to do this. I need to do that. And he loves that. Why? Because he's helping you stay in your pride. He loves that. He loves that. He wants to remove your focus on trusting God. And that's where we got to bury our pride. Know this, church. We have a weapon. We have a weapon, church, and it's given to us by Jesus Christ. Let's look at it. Luke 10:19. Jesus himself says, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. You know, that weapon is in full force when we stop and step back and say, Jesus, let my free will be to do your will. Jesus, let what I try to control be under your control. It's giving everything over to God because we know he can handle that. And there's another verse that we can follow that up with, and it's Isaiah 54:17, which says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Let that one sink in. Their vindication is from me. That's what God is telling us. He says, right there, nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing right there will stand against you. No weapon of the enemy will stand against you. Why? Because right there, Jesus said, I have given you authority. Let go of your pride. Give me the problems. Give them to me. Because I can handle them a whole lot better than you can. Now, here's something else we can do as well. This is a good one. Turn the tables on the enemy. Turn the tables. Don't let him get off scot-free. Get in his face. He's not afraid to get in your face. He's not afraid to dredge things up against you. He's not afraid to do that. He loves to do that. But he hates it when somebody gives it back to him. It's like, oh yeah, you can dish it out, but you can't take it. That's right. You can't. Don't let him get off scot-free. Listen, bring up his past. Bring up the present. Remind him of his future. Let's look at it. Remind him that his fate is sealed. John 16:11. The ruler of this world has been judged. There's not one thing that he can do to reverse that judgment. It's sealed. It's sealed in heaven and it's done. He's finished. Remind him of that. Remind him of, hey, you're done. I'm not. Remind him of that. Remind him of where you're going to be and he won't be. Let's look at it. Revelation 21:25-27. Excuse me. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. They will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those names, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Remind him of that, little one. Guess where your name isn't? Remind him, his name is not in the book of life. Mine is. He won't find his name there. Remind him that he's going to be on the outside looking in. Revelation 22, pick up in verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. Geez, I wonder who that could be. How about the enemy? Right? Remember, Jesus gave us the authority. We have it. Let's use it. But one thing, when you use your authority, take your free will and say, Jesus, let my free will be to do your will. And once you relinquish that, once you bury your pride, God is like all about helping you because your reliance is now focused on him. And that's exactly where he wants. I'm going to end here with 1 Peter chapter 5, the next couple verses, 8 through 10. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you had suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Listen, church, remember that in Jesus Christ, when we abide in Jesus Christ and we turn everything over to Him, we are perfected, we're confirmed, we're strengthened, and we're established under the reign of Jesus Christ. When we just say, look, I can't do this. I'm going to bury my pride, and Jesus Christ, let my will be your will. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so very much for the strength and the power and everything that Jesus has done on our behalf, everything that he's given us, the authority he's given us. And Father, let's use that authority because it's been freely given. It's not an easy thing to do, God, a lot of times to bury our pride. But when we think of the power of Jesus Christ and all he's done and all he's given, especially the authority he's given us, but in that authority, Father God, please to help us to always remember, lay aside our pride and say, Jesus Christ, let my will be to do your will. We thank you, God, so much for the power we do have. It's always in his name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we can do for anyone to get them closer, come as we stand and sing.